Well, today we are being realistic about the fact that life isn't all joy and roses, is it? There are sometimes really difficult parts to it, and life is not always easy. For the last few Sundays, we have been exploring what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And through our various readings and Mike preaching to us and Christian preaching to us last week, we have really explored what it means to follow the call of God, to walk in God's way. And last week, Christian talked about what it means to fully trust in God, to lean all our weight upon God as if we were sitting in a chair, trusting that chair to hold us. It takes a lot to follow Jesus. The gospel reading for today, which we haven't had, but it is that challenging passage where Jesus says, "I have come to make life difficult. I have come to bring a sword and not to bring peace." Not that Jesus bring you war, but that Jesus is saying it's not going to be easy. Sometimes there's going to be division that you're going to face. Because what I am asking of you is to walk a different way. To walk a way that isn't the way of the world. To walk a way that is my way. And therefore, it may bring us into conflict with those who don't want to follow that way. In a very practical sense, we're thinking in modern day, it could be that we might choose not to drink to excess. We might choose not to swear. We might choose to not watch those things on TV or those films or those things on social media that everyone else is watching. We might choose to say, no, I don't think that is positive or good or indeed how God wants me to live. It might be that we choose not to just casually use all the resources at work as if that wasn't really stealing from our workplace. It might be that we are much more ethical in how we buy our clothes, how we choose to care for our resources and our planet. All of these things are not necessarily how the whole of our world is working and will lead us into opposition with people who think another way. The world that wants us to make money, spend money, and all think about ourselves, they're not going to be agreeing with a Christian way, which is much more about the others, about the other and being generous. So we might find ourselves in opposition with people. It may even be people in our own family. It may be people we thought were close friends. And that can be really, really hard. The reading from Jeremiah is a moment where Jeremiah, who has been called to be a prophet of God, called to be God's mouthpiece, to speak God's words to the world, to turn them back to God's way, to say, you're not following God's way, you're doing something that is not what God wants, turn and do something different. That is what he has been called to do. And it's really, really hard. You can hear from his words in that reading that Anna read to us that he feels he's being ridiculed. He's being mocked. No one is listening. He keeps having to say these words of God and it's not going down well. He is finding himself in a lot of conflict and he feels overwhelmed and he feels isolated. And yet he can't not do it because as soon as he doesn't walk in God's way and say God's words, he has this kind of burning fire in his heart. He just knows that he needs to say it. That's what God has put on his heart. It's what we're all called to do as followers of God, to live God's way and to tell the world about it, that it is a good way, it is a right way, a just way. So how do we live with the challenge of following God? Well, of course, we have the promise that God is with us. Abide with me, that wonderful hymn reminds us that God is with us every passing hour in every challenge of life. After Pentecost, we are reminded that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us and help us to know God's presence, to know God's counsel, to know God's peace. But we also have wonderful practical ways that Scripture helps us to live. And one of these is what Jeremiah is modeling for us. It is a tool that we can have in our Christian tool bag to use when life is getting difficult and overwhelming. And it is called lament. Lament is not just a feeling sad or a feeling down. Lament is a very practical way of tackling that overwhelm and that despair. And it involves directly taking it to God, but in a formulaic way that we can learn and use when we need to. And one of the reasons we're talking about it today is that some of the best time to practice using it is when life is not completely awful, so that we've learned how to do it when should the time come that we really need to lament. But of course, we have to recognize that for some people this morning, that is exactly where they're at. And it's really helpful to have time on a Sunday to practice these things so that when we go out into the world and live our lives, we have these tools at our disposal. So let's think about lament. What is the structure of lament? It starts with the direct addressing of God. It's the opening address, and it's like it various different things. Oh Lord. You might start, dear God. But anything that takes you into that place where you're going, right, I am now going to talk to God one-to-one. God, I am talking to you. I'm not just moaning about the stuff going on and hoping that you might hear it. I am coming directly to you, facing you, and saying, oh Lord. And I'm going to tell you all about what's going on. Then we launch into the complaint. So we are now facing God one-to-one, and now we are going to let rip with what is going wrong. And the complaint that Jeremiah has, he uses some really graphic language. The translation that we have actually tones it down a bit for us. It's even more visceral, actually, in the Hebrew. So you can be as honest as you like. This is what it's modeling for us. You can let it all out. You can sound angry. You can sound enraged. You can sound petulant. You can, whatever you are actually feeling about the situation that's going on, this is what you want to take to God. And you want to lay it all out. Don't hold anything back. That is what all the laments that are throughout the Bible tell us. It is okay to take it to God. Because there then is a moment in all of the laments, you'll find them throughout the Psalms as well, that you'll notice in Jeremiah's, he's laid it all out, everything that is wrong. He has made his complaint to God. And then there is this moment where he goes, but. It's also seen and translated as nevertheless. And then there is a confession of faith, a confession of trust in God that brings us back, reminds us that nevertheless, God is faithful. Nevertheless, God's mercies are new every morning. But I remember that you are just a just God. Whatever it is that reminds us of God's goodness and God's sovereignty in that moment, Jeremiah has been brought to that place. And what follows on from that recognition of who God is then the plea. Asking for what they then want. Please, God, will you bring your vengeance? I love that. It's still really visceral language. Bring your vengeance. I want to see your justice. God, change this situation. This is the plea after we have that acknowledgement of who God is. And then nearly all laments end with a word of praise of God. Now, some of these, especially the ones in Psalms, were used as liturgy in the temple. So it may be that it's not in the moment, but it's afterwards, that actually God did answer my plea, and this is the word of praise. Or it can be, I know God is going to, so this is my praise. I'm going to say it faithfully, knowing that God has heard me now. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, that's all very well, but I have tried throwing everything on God. And that's not the path that I follow. That's not how it works for me. And it can seem a little bit too trite, frankly, to go, Just tell God everything and you'll get to the point of going, but nevertheless, something changes. Well, I think there is something that really, really key that happens in that first bit that enables the but and the nevertheless, that shift to happen. And it's not just willpower to say those words. What I think happens in that moment where we come to God directly and say, I want a one-to-one with you, God, and we pour out our heart, is that we find we have actually taken ourselves into the presence of the best listener that there ever is. I don't know if you can remember a time, have a think, a time when you have felt really listened to. Have you ever had that moment, you've had the opportunity, you've had a good friend or a counselling session or any time where you have been able to just talk and you know that the person who is listening to you is actually listening? Has anyone experienced that? Where you've actually had someone and you really felt heard? It is actually transformational. That person who is listening may not ever have said anything. They might not have even said a word. But being able to just talk and be listened to can be transformative. We can find ourselves feeling stronger afterwards, or maybe feeling relieved, or maybe just feeling better for having got it off our chest. There is something really important and powerful about being able to talk and to be listened to. You don't have the same feeling if you're just in your own room on, by yourself and just decide to talk and let it all out. But when somebody is there with you and listens, it makes such a difference. And that is what I think is happening in a lament. We are saying, I am choosing to be present with you, God. I'm inviting you to be next to me and notice your presence with me. I'm going to pour it all out. And oh my goodness, you listened to it all, and I know you listened. It shifts something in us and changes what we're going through. And that is what I think happens in lament. We often launch, when we're upset, straight into the plea, straight into the, God, it's awful. Please, can you do this? Please, can you do this? Please, can you change this? But what happens in lament, we're being taught through Scripture, is that first we need to go and let God listen to us. Because something will shift in that moment of allowing God to listen. So this morning, we are going to explore what it means to lament. It involves being honest before God. Therefore, we're going to start by doing it personally. We're not going to start sharing that with everybody unless you are happy to and would like to. We're also going to explore, whilst if we're in a good place, whilst we can, some of the good things, the promises, those but and nevertheless moments, those phrases that we can think of. What are the promises, the goodnesses of God? I'm just inventing words now. That we can hold on to and remember and remind ourselves of. Today might be a good day to remind ourselves of some of them. This is more than just bringing things to God in prayer. This is a moment of connection with God and allowing God to respond to us. So even if you don't feel like lamenting today, you feel like life is okay, I may want to remind you of all that's going on in the world. Just watching the news can cause us to want to lament for the world. Or British politics, or anything that you have seen someone else go through might cause you to want to lament today. So today is an opportunity. As ever, in our all-age service, we have different ways that we can respond and explore what lamenting is. If you want to get up and move and do slightly more active exploration of this idea, there are some posters that are up in the central studio space before you get to the door. You might want to go and spend some time looking at them, and there are some activities that you could do in response. It might be drawing, It might be posture, it might be thinking about how we move, but there are some activities there to do. Or you might like to try writing your own lament. If you feel okay with words and you're happy writing, I've got some slips of paper that take us through the different parts of a lament. So feel free to grab one of those. You can obviously come up into the chancel, sit where you are, whatever you would like to do, and explore writing your own lament. Or you might like to practice listening. I have a couple of listening exercises. If you've ever done these, you need to work in pairs with someone else, and you practice talking and listening. And there's two different exercises of how we can listen well. So you might want to do that, not just to practice your own listening skills, but also to notice what it's like to be listened to well. So I have some of those tasks if you'd like to do those. Or of course, there is always the chance of sitting and looking at the Bible. So there's some questions about that will come up on the screen about where else we find laments in the Bible. And feel free to explore them yourself and see how they might help you in your faith journey. So let's take our time to explore in all sorts of different ways what it means to lament.